My name is Joe DiBiase. I had my best round of golf and second best round of golf ever this morning.
Oh, really? I actually had a pretty good round yesterday. I'm Jordan Hanskin, by the way. I just finished eating a Southern sandwich. I got a pimento cheese sandwich.
Is that the name of that? It's just a Southern sandwich, or is it like a Southern?
It's called pimento cheese sandwich.
Okay,
and it's never had Southern. One. It's a Southern delicacy. I think at Augusta they sell them, and they're supposed to be amazing.
Yes, I had. That's right, the Augusta cheese sandwich. I know it is such. And this is the Locked On Sabres podcast. My round was an 86, which is second best.
Where'd you play?
Elma Meadows.
Wow, that's actually not bad. Buffalo area. It's not bad. Elma's not that easy.
It's not. But here is the thing: it almost was a little cheap because Elma, and for those in the Buffalo area that golf, you'll know what Elma Meadows is. Sorry to everybody else, but the tee boxes are being fixed. So here's someone talking to someone who knows here. So you have to tee off a lot of times, like 5, 10, sometimes 20 yards in front of where you normally do. So that course is usually hard because it's long, but that kind of got taken away today. So I shot an 86, but had the tee boxes been ready, maybe I would have shot a 90.
Did you play from the ones that they made, like the made up ones?
Yes, they didn't allow you to play from the new ones yet. So
you were up like what, like 50 yards every time?
No, I mean it was like 20. Like there was one that was maybe 50, but most of them were like 20 yards.
I still 86 is still an 86. You still have to play pretty well to get an 86. I was actually I was playing the course that's near me now, and I was plus 4 through 8, and then the wheels came off a little bit. I ended up with an 89 on a par 72, which is one of my better rounds. It's not my best. My best is still an 84 at like a par 72, but like that, I was playing by myself most of the time, except for like this 5-hole stretch where I was playing with one guy, and it was just like, it was weird. I was like in the zone. Kind of like, I think I was dealing with a lot of stress with the move and new job and everything. And I think that golf was like my haven. It was pretty relaxing. Nice. I was pretty pleased with myself. Plus 4 through 8 was a wild stretch.
Plus 4 through 8. That's a good stretch. We're going to talk plenty of hockey today. Don't worry, but a little bit of golf at the beginning there. Me and Jordan, both avid golfers. And, you know, we've got our jersey rankings. We've got halfway through, just over halfway through. We have their top 6, our best uniforms in Sabre history. If you want to check out our least favorite uniforms in Sabre history and what we think are the worst ones, you can check out our last podcast. I did not have the turd burger at last, probably maybe the highlight of the episode. I would argue, though, that Jordan putting in the 49th anniversary uniforms at like 11 is worse. But I will talk more about those today because I haven't got to them. They're in my top 6. So we'll do that. But a little bit on the actual Stanley Cup playoffs before we get into the Sabre uniforms again. Brendan Gallagher of the Montreal Canadiens, this just came out right before, like maybe a half hour before we started recording here on Thursday afternoon. Montreal Canadiens GM Mark Bergevin announced that forward Brendan Gallagher is out for the rest of the Flyer series. He is having surgery on a broken jaw, and that is after a cross check to the face from Flyers defenseman Matt Niskanen nearing the end of, it would have been game 5 between Montreal and Philadelphia. No penalty was assessed to Niskanen on the play. That actually might not help him because there is speculation that he's going to get a call from the Department of Player Safety. Now, whether that's just a warning or whether they will actually suspend him, that's an interesting conversation right now. You saw the hit. I saw the hit. Before I say what I think should happen here, do you think any supplemental discipline should come towards Matt Niskanen?
I mean, probably. I mean, it was a pretty vicious hit, and I think like it should have been. You said it wasn't a penalty, right? Like,
nope, it was not.
Yeah, I mean that just speaks to the level of like eating your whistle, swallowing the whistle that the NHL mm-hmm. has in the playoffs. It's a serious problem. Like, I think that is like my biggest issue with the playoffs is I just get like mad because they just like will refuse to call penalties. But I think there should be extra discipline. It seems like it was a pretty vicious play. I think there was an attempt to injure. When you choose to cross check, you're doing it because you really want to hurt the guy. You're mad at the guy for some reason. You're trying to injure him. Yeah, maybe a game.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's what I would do. I would give him a game. I think you should give him something. I think actually even you could argue Sean Couturier, who had a pretty filthy after the play hit a little bit later in the third period, also could deserve a game. But I think Niskanen is the big story here because really a cross check to the face, if I'm Montreal, a cross check to the face just took out arguably my best forward. Like, Montreal is already kind of thin when it comes to potential top line scorers. And Gallagher is like a top line player for them. And he's very consistent. He's a very good two-way player as well. So I would be furious if I'm Mark Bergevin and I lost Gallagher to that cross check. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not anticipating that he will get suspended. I think the NHL, usually Department of Player Safety, suspends players for about half to what everybody thinks they should get suspended for. And when you think they should get suspended for one, I think the answer to that is normally zero. I think they round down. The rule there for the NHL is they round down. Canadiens, by the way, trail the Flyers 3-2 in their series. One more little thing on the Stanley Cup playoffs before we continue. We've had a couple of teams that have now advanced to the second round. Vegas beat Chicago in 5 games a couple of nights ago. They advanced. Colorado yesterday, utter annihilation of the Arizona Coyotes. 7-1. It might have been the second time they scored 7 goals on the Coyotes in that series. They won in 5 games. You've got the Bruins advancing past the Carolina Hurricanes in 5 games. The Tampa Bay Lightning advanced past Columbus in 5. And honestly, before this podcast comes out, or by the time you're listening to it, potentially Friday morning. I know we're recording this on Thursday. You could have Dallas and you could have the Islanders also advancing. But just on the teams that have advanced from the time that we are recording, Vegas, Colorado, Boston, and Tampa Bay. Is it fair to call those 4 teams the best 4 teams in the current playoffs? And if you could choose your dream Stanley Cup scenario between those 4 teams, who would you pick?
Wow, that question, that's a good question. I think that Colorado is the best team. I've kind of been on this for a couple weeks now after watching, you know, their tune-ups, then watching them absolutely pretty much dominate Arizona the entire time. I think the only game Arizona won was because their goaltender stole the show. Yeah, and then I think that if you want the best matchup, you're probably picking Tampa because Tampa's also one of the most complete teams. But I wouldn't mind like Boston or like Philly. I'm not the East. I don't really like anybody, so I don't really like care. Mm-hmm. But Colorado is the team in the West I'm rooting for.
I think Colorado has swayed me. I was rooting for Vegas to make it early on. I love Vegas. I thought that they were the best. I still think they're the most complete team in the West, but Colorado, in terms of watchability, they are the most fun team to watch. Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon are two of the most dynamic young players in the league. MacKinnon, I mean, he might be pushing McDavid for me as the best player in the National Hockey League. I would still tell you McDavid is, but I think there is a big gap between MacKinnon and then whoever I think is third, which would either be Crosby or, honestly, you can maybe make the case for Eichel, Austin Matthews. There's a bunch of guys you could throw in there, but MacKinnon, I think, is the second best player in the world today. And he is so fun to watch. He skates like McDavid, but he has like 40 pounds of muscle that McDavid doesn't. Like, he hits like a truck. He like ragdolled the one guy from the Coyotes the other day. Someone on the Coyotes, I don't remember who it was, so it might not have been like a third or fourth line grinder for them, but he was like pushing MacKinnon and like testing him, and MacKinnon just ragdolled him. Like, the guy is a beast. And if McDavid is a Ferrari, like, what is MacKinnon? He's like a super truck. And then Makar is just so dynamic too. Those two are really highlighted for me. But they've got other guys. Like Kadri's having a very good playoffs. Gabriel Landeskog is very good. Mikko Rantanen, I didn't even mention him. I should have mentioned him. He's like more, almost, if not even more, a point a game since he entered the league. So I think I would have to go with Colorado too, and then I would go with Tampa. Tampa is the best built team in the National Hockey League to me. I love their roster, and part of me just always wants to root for the team that's perfectly built. Like Tampa got swept last year against Columbus, and if I'm a Sabre fan or any fan of any team, and I'm aspiring to build the perfect hockey team, and I want my team to build their team the right way, the best way, which to me would be as much talent as you can acquire, then you want the team in Tampa, who's maybe done a better job of that than anybody, to actually have some success and not just get stomped out by Columbuses and the Islanders of the world. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe they'll run into the New York Islanders and the Islanders will beat them 1-0 four times. But I hope that doesn't happen. I would love to see
Colorado. Hoisting Bogosian? Is that what you want? You want a little Bogosian lifting the cup?
Can he hoist the cup like without pads? Like, you know, the guys who are healthy scratches in the game that like,
he's playing, man.
I know he's playing. He's playing with Hedman. He's playing with the best defenseman in the world.
He's playing with Hedman because they don't want him to play with anybody else.
Good. Have you watched any of their games? Is that Mick?
Mick is mad.
We got a dog alert.
Zach Bogosian. They only put him with Hedman. All right. I'll pause. Give me a second. What is it? I knew you were gonna do this.
He thinks I'm pausing this.
He wanted the cheese, and then now you're gone.
He doesn't know it. This is totally going in the podcast.
They play Bogosian with Hedman. Mainly just because he stinks. Like they put him there, and all he does is every time he gets the puck, I've watched a bunch of it, and I'm fascinated every time Bogosian's on the ice. I lean forward and just kind of watch what he does, and he literally just passes it back to Hedman every time he gets the puck. Like he doesn't try any breakouts. He doesn't try anything like of the. He either dumps it into the corner or he passes it to Hedman. Which, I mean, you know, he's playing within himself.
I mean, it's probably the smart thing to do.
Yeah, and he's playing within himself. Like, he's not hurting them at all right now.
Yes.
But he is kind of just doing the bare minimum out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. He's a good guy. I root for him because he is a cool dude. He's one of the few players that actually tells you what's on his mind. He had never played in the playoffs before, and as a guy that's played so long in the NHL to never do that, it's good to see him doing it. But he drove me crazy as a Buffalo Sabre.
Do you think I was too harsh on him? Am I being too mean?
No, you're fine. It's fine. Whatever. I just don't want him to be taking victory laps around the Sabres and Sabre fans or whatever because you got to play with Victor Hedman on the best team and the most talented team in hockey.
What if he dominates the rest of the way and wins the Conn Smythe?
I think there is a greater chance of the Columbus Blue Jackets winning the Stanley Cup. That's not possible. It's a COVID outbreak. I don't know. What could make that happen? I don't know. That's anything like that is more likely. So, yeah. All right. Playoffs are ongoing. My dream scenario, Colorado and Tampa. I think, Jordan, you pretty much agreed with that. My least favorite right now among the teams remaining probably would be like a Calgary New York Islanders matchup.
I love the Islanders.
Oh, they're so annoying.
I can't help it. I love the story that they continually go into the playoffs further than the Leafs without Tavares. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I guess like it doesn't like it's not cool for like. I don't know, entertainment value. They're not like a superstar. There's like no stars on the team. They have a bunch of good players, like a lot of good players, and they have great coaching. And
they have one great player. I think Matthew Barzal.
Barzal, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's fair. But really, it just comes down to their system is just better than what other teams throw at them, and they're just tough to break down. And you know, I give teams like that a lot of props. Because everybody kind of dismisses them, and I think the Islanders should finish off the series. The Caps do have it in them to make a run at this and make a run at the 4-0, there's like a term for it, this type of sweep where you're down 3-0 and then you win. But I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have a chance, but I think I'm rooting for the Islanders.
Okay. I am not, but we good thing we had something to disagree on here, because it seems like we were agreeing on a lot of this stuff. We will we'll come back with our top six jerseys in Sabres history when we return. But before we do that, I want to take a quick minute to talk to you about rockauto.com. If you need any auto part, go there. rockauto.com. It's the easiest way to do it, and you're always going to get the best prices. To me, that's always normally what I'm looking for. I want something that's good. You don't get me wrong, part-wise, I don't want, you know, the bottom of the barrel, but I want what the best deal I could get, and that's why you want to go to rockauto.com. That's the place to get the best deal. The catalog's unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. Very quickly see all the parts available for your car by brand, specifications, and the prices that you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, truck, like tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, whatever you need. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe WGR, Jordan Hanskin at JR Hanskin on Twitter. This podcast account is at Locked On Sabres. Some good polls. We still got to talk about that prospect poll that we put up a couple of days ago. We'll do that most likely on our next episode. But we got to finish off our uniform rankings. On our last episode, we did the bottom of our uniform rankings, our least favorite jerseys in Sabre history. Now we are on to the best. And we will count up from 6 to 1, the best six uniforms in Sabre history, according to me and Jordan. And I think I left off at number 7, so I'll let you start here with your sixth best jersey in Sabre history.
The Navy Slug jersey.
Okay, which I think I had at 7.
Yeah, I actually like everything about this jersey aside from the logo. I actually love the bee with the sword that came from the Goathead jerseys. I love like the shoulder patch with the bee with the sword going through it. And these jerseys just kind of remind me of winning. So I still think they're cool. I still wear my Navy Slug Hess jersey to games, mainly for just hearing the jeering and the laughing behind my back about, well, look at this guy in the Hess jersey. But I think I still think it's a cool jersey to wear around.
Yeah, I like it. I had a number 7. I think I wasn't too far off of you. So, or maybe number 8. I think I maybe had the 2018 Winter Classic jerseys there. My number 6 is the 40th anniversary third jerseys. I do very much like the Bison's throwback inspired uniform. The blue, it was the right version of blue. And I know you're big on it. I'm sure you'll talk glowingly about it soon. So I'll leave this for you for the most part, but I am a big fan of the nameplate, and then the numbers. What am I looking for? What's the word here? Like where it goes back and forth on the numbers.
Stitching.
Just the stitching going across the numbers back and forth. Really like those jerseys. It also, you know, they were good. They were good that season. So they bring back good memories, and it's a sweet jersey. It's a unique uniform, by the way, while also putting a cool modern spin on some Buffalo hockey history. So I've got the 40th anniversary alternate jerseys as my number 6. Your number 5?
The white Goathead. The Goathead jerseys kind of, they symbolize and showcase winning as well. I think the white one's a little bit less than the black one for me. I think the logo just pops better off because the logo is what, white? It's mainly white. The Goathead jersey, the Goathead logo. I think it's mainly white, so I think it pops off better off the black jersey. But the white one's still pretty cool. I think like they actually make gray or silver work, and I just dig those jerseys a lot.
Yep, I have not gotten to them, so they're in my top five. I like them here at six. I thought if I could have bet on one jersey you would have had here at six, it would have been this one. Because I feel like for most people, this would be like a middling Sabres uniform in their history.
I think we're at five, right? Five?
The road goat head. So, or that was number five, I meant, yes. Yeah. All right, my number five is the Red Sabres alternate, which you had way too low on your list.
I mean, I had it at eight.
Way too low. I guess five is not a huge difference, but I really like those. And like the jersey I was searching for so long as a kid who grew up with those uniforms was the red Max Finneganoff jersey. I have it. I even like the buffalo like around the waist. Like it's good. I like the logo enough. I hear your point that you made on the last episode about having the hockey puck in the logo. I get it, but I don't really guess I think of it as being a hockey puck. I know it's a black circle, so it is a hockey puck. But it's the swords. It's just the crossing swords. And it is a version of what their best logo is, which is their classic logo. And even though you're taking the buffalo away from it, and I wouldn't choose to do that, and if I could go back, I would put that buffalo in there and just have the red alternate with the classic logo. Like, I don't know why they didn't do that back in the day, but it's very close to a very good jersey. And one reason I put the yellows higher, the Turdburgers higher than you did, and probably more than higher than anybody would, is I like when teams use their secondary color as the basis for their alternate uniforms. Like when the Seattle Seahawks have a neon green third jersey, I think I like that. That's the idea. That's what I think you should go for. When the Bills have their red alternates, even though red's not like their main color, I'm a fan of that. So I liked when the Sabres went to red, and I'm putting them at number five. You hate everything I just said, basically?
the neon's cool. I don't like the Bills in red. I don't know why. I just don't care for it.
What about when they're in
I think I would like it better. I think I would like it better if they had if they kept the white pants. I think there's just too much red. I don't really like the all solid color, like the color rush thing. That's just my opinion on that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to your number four jersey.
The black goat head jersey. Pretty much all the cool things of the white head. It's really just, you know, flip-flop. Like the white jersey and the black jersey are pretty much the same, but I do like the goat head logo off the black jersey better. I regret not getting – I got the red jersey when I was a kid. I got a Miroslav Japan one. I should have – looking back, I should have been more courageous because my favorite player on the team actually was JP Dumont. When I was at my, like, what was it, like 2001, 2002. Yep. Like, he was my favorite player on the team, so I should have gotten one of those, and I would have gotten the black one instead because I do like the black jerseys more.
Okay. I had them a little bit lower. I had them in my my bottom tier for bottom half of the Sabres uniform history. My number four on my list is the classic home jerseys, the blue, the royal blue. I'm not differentiating, I guess, between the old blue that, you know, McGillney and LaFontaine and Perreault and all of them wore. Compared to the new ones, I know there's white striping, white piping, but we said we weren't going to make the huge. We're going to try not to make too big of specification differences. So I've got them at number four. They're fine, but I always like the white one better. It just pops more. And we kind of talked about this in the last episode. Something about the blue logo on the blue uniform. You know, maybe if back in the day when they were first coming out as a team, if they had made the logo white. And like a white background and then the buffalo blue and the swords blue, something like that. I thought maybe, you know, you play around with the design. It could have looked cool. But I do still like them a lot. I mean, they were number four. So we are talking about the best of the best for Saber uniforms. And you're picking and choosing for me with these next couple. And the classic home is my number four.
I mean, you're pretty close. I actually have the classic blue right here at number three. Okay. I agree with everything you said. The one downside to the classic blue, I guess actually the jersey that they have now, if I was to compare it, like, I just want that nameplate. Just get me that nameplate and then the jersey's perfect. I think it's a great look. I think the colors just they just look great. Like I have blue and yellow is just royal blue and yellow is just the perfect color combination. And I love them. And the only reason that it's at three is because the other two jerseys are left are just absolutely incredible. And no problem taking bronze here.
Yep. My number three is one that you had way too low. I cannot believe how low you had it. The 49th anniversary Sabres uniforms, the white on white with the white gloves, the white helmet, the white gloves, man. I love white gloves.
If I wanted that much gold, I would have become a miner.
The gold in the logo is your problem with this jersey, right?
Yeah. Weird.
Why?
The Sabres don't wear gold. We wear yellow.
But it was their golden season, and it's like very
okay.
Wait, are their colors not blue and gold?
What if the season was the what if the season was the purple season? Do we just wear purple then?
Well, technically, it wasn't also their golden season. But like
another reason to hate it.
I like that they changed the logo, the crest, and that they were willing to put more color in it. And sure, would I prefer it to be yellow? I don't even know if I would prefer it to be yellow. Maybe my answer to that is yes. I would have to see a drop or I would have to see a mock uniform of it. But I love the etching. I love the texture in the Buffalo itself. I'm glad they carried that over to the new uniforms. And I love the white gloves. Love the white gloves. It's probably the biggest reason I put it as high as I did. But I do like the color inside the logo. I like messing with your actual logo, not being afraid to actually just have different variations of it. And they were clean. They were so clean. Every time they played in those jerseys last year, I felt more interested in the game. They're my third best jerseys in Sabres history.
I threw up every time they wore those last year.
This is an outrage.
I think more people agree with you, though. I think I'm on the fringe.
I think so.
Here.
Most people might not have it number three, but they certainly wouldn't have had it 10 or 11, whatever you
behind want. The white slug.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's chaos. All right, your number two uniform in Sabre history.
It's a nameplate party, baby. The 40th anniversary jersey. I love this jersey to death. Like, I thought I wanted them to just adopt it and keep it forever. I think I led the charge probably in my early Twitter days of just like, can we just keep this jersey? Can we just keep it forever? Like, just wear it, make this the alternate, take off the 1970 or keep it. Like, it doesn't even matter. But that jersey is just so cool. I love the script for Buffalo. Normally, I don't like writing the team's name on the jersey. It's very baseballish to me. But for some reason, this one just works. I think it's because the writing's so unique. And God, that nameplate and the numbers are so, they just look so cool.
I like it a lot. Who's the player that you picture in that uniform? Is it Pominville or is it Hesh?
Pominville, I have the jersey for, so probably him or Miller. Probably yeah. Miller.
Yeah, I think of for some reason Myers? I think of Craig Revay. I think of Craig Revay in it for some reason.
That was rookie year Tyler Myers, right?
I don't think Myers wore it. I think Myers was the next year. No, you might be right.
He won the Calder when we won the division, right?
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Yes, so he would have worn it.
That was a fun team.
That was a fun team. Myers did wear it. And he was a part of that team being fun. I mean, we thought he was the next Chara at that point.
Yeah, that was and that was – go ahead. Yeah. I mean, it was peak Ryan Miller, too. I was going to say, it was Ryan Miller at his best because he was going for the Olympics and he won that starting job. That was a fun team and they looked good while actually playing well. So that's big.
Yeah. Myers arriving and just being able to on the spot become like a top four defenseman for them and average, what did he average? 22 minutes a night. I mean, he was dynamite. All right, moving on to my next jersey, which is number two. And I believe you had it at number five. The Road Goathead is my second best jersey in Sabre history. I love the white with the black shoulders on top of it. I don't know. I imagine Danny Briere skating up and down the ice with his black and red gloves. Part of that is how good that team was, and the black ones are just too dark for me. I love the goat head, but I'm not a big fan of black uniforms. I think there's way too many teams in sports that have it. I want some color. I want some pop, some pizzazz, and these jerseys are not all the way that, but there's as much red on this uniform as there is black. Well, I guess there's more black because just because of the shoulders, but then you've got like the little pyramid scheme, whatever is going on in the bottom of the side, like the sides. And then also this jersey, I think the black one too is this, but did you ever see the diagram of the blueprint of what the jersey is? And like when the arms are straight out and the jersey is laying flat, it looks like a buffalo. Like it is in the shape of a buffalo. Did you know this?
No. That's really cool though. I mean, if that is what they did, that is a neat trick. For some reason, this jersey always, like, the first player that comes to mind for some reason is always Alexei Shipnik. I don't know why. I just imagine. I, like, close my eyes, I think of that jersey, and it's Alexei Shipnik. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
We're going to pause for a second because I need to find this tweet so I can show it to you because I want to hear your reaction in the podcast.
Okay.
My mind was blown the first time I saw it.
Are you showing it on screen share?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. I think Pete Blackburn was the one. This okay? Are you seeing my screen?
What? All right, you can do it again. Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay, now I'm just Joe's just showing me the jersey now, and holy crap! We should tweet that out. We should
make sure we tweet that out. I'm going to tweet it out because it is like the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh my god! I've like never. It's like 8 years to more than that, actually, like a decade after they stopped wearing them, did I realize that, oh, it's a buffalo, which is actually kind of cool. It's very cool, actually.
When I was a little kid, I didn't even think the logo was a buffalo. I thought it was a dragon.
Same thing. I saw the logo being left to right.
Yes. Yeah, I did too. I thought the logo went the other way. And I thought it was like this like sad. Because it kind of the eye kind of looks sad if you look the other way.
Yes.
It was like this sad dragon.
Yes, it was a sad dragon. I'm imagining a lot of people saw it that way though. Because I mean, if me and you did, I have to imagine that was
we're just really stupid kids.
Or that is maybe the probability actually. All right, so that was my number two is the road goat head. That I believe I have this right that we both have one jersey remaining. It is the same jersey remaining because neither of us have named it. So I'll let you do the honors for the number one in according to both of us the best jersey in Saber history.
It's the classic white. I think it's like as close to a flawless jersey as you can get. The colors are awesome. The logo, I mean, the Sabres shield, one of the top logos in sports. It's pretty perfect. And now that the color is back to royal, I mean, it's just going to look awesome.
Yes, I can't. I'm so glad that they went back to it. That was the jersey. Like, if I'm buying a jersey, that's the one I'm getting. I just think of there's a picture of Alex McGillney with like he's one knee on the ice, maybe, and like he's in this uniform, and I'm just looking at like that is so sharp. It is so clean. It is the perfect Sabres uniform, and they never needed to go away from it. And I loved when they brought it back for one night at the end of the 2003 season. And it was kind of like the 06-07 third jersey, though. If you look at pictures from that game, like I have a hockey card of JP Dumont playing against the Devils in this jersey, the classic road jersey. But he's wearing the black pants and the black and red socks and the black helmet, and he's got red gloves on, and it looks kind of stupid. But they also then brought it back for the 2008 Winter Classic. And, you know, they got fancier with the Winter Classic as the years gone on when it came to uniforms. Like, new teams would come around. They wouldn't really do throwbacks. They would do, like, an alternate version of the jersey that they would wear once. But when the Winter Classic was just around for the first time, what do you wear? Yeah, like, let's wear those uniforms. Those are exactly what you would want to wear when you are on the main stage and you are in front of the entire league, like the Sabres were in that moment. So It's the number one jersey. I'm glad that it's back, and I'm glad that we agreed that it is number one on our list. All right. That's going to do it, though, for our jersey rankings. To recap, my top six. My sixth was the 40th anniversary uniforms, fifth, red alternate, fourth, classic home, third, 49th anniversary, second, road goathead, and number one, the classic road whites.
And mine are the blue slug at six, at five, the white goathead, at four, the black goathead, at three, the classic blue jerseys, at two, the 40th anniversary, as I call the nameplate king jersey, and the classic whites are my favorite Sabres jersey.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on today's podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to get to number eight on our Sabres 50 list. In the next episode, Jordan is going to name number eight. I had Rick Martin at number seven, fittingly to me, on our last episode. So we'll do that on our next episode. We'll continue to talk some playoffs, and we're going to talk about this prospect pool, this prospect poll that we put up at Locked On Sabres, have a conversation around the Sabres depth and who's the most important prospect in the system. So we'll do that on our next episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.